Your dreams for 2016. Got any? Oh, I dare say you probably have more dreams than you realize. Think back to this time, 2015, and maybe you said, I didn't have dreams. What are the disappointments as you look back at that year as you reach December 31? Every disappointment identifies a dream you had January 1st, 2015. A hope. A dream. One of our dangers of asking about dreams is, what do we do with the disappointments? Now, sometimes people say, well, just forget it and move on. Well, that sounds nice on paper. It sounds nice in poetry and sounds nice by positive thinking speakers, but is it all that easy? I have a different question for you regarding those disappointments. What'd you learn? What opportunity did those disappointments open for you? I'm not asking you to bog down. I'm asking you to either repent, that means turn to Jesus, and see what he has for you. It may mean making restitution, asking forgiveness. The passage of scripture that Michaela read is actually a letter of Jesus to a church in Philadelphia. Well, not Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Philadelphia of East Asia many years ago. But it's also a letter to us. And in there's an interesting line. Jesus says, I hold the keys of David, of royalty. What I open, no one can shut. What I shut, no one can open. So what are the doors of opportunity that Jesus is opening for you? Those dreams reflect those doors. And so that moves the question from what are your dreams? Well, what are God's dreams for you? I'm not asking for resolutions. We know those are short-lived. And some have all kinds of new ones, and some of them in proud and arrogant say, I don't make those things. Yeah, right. I'm asking you, what are your dreams? What is it that God's leading you to fulfill? Oh, not only for yourself, but what are your dreams for our church? New pastor coming in 6 weeks. What are your dreams? What are your reservations? There are those too. There's going to be change. Oh, there's going to be change. Same words. Two very different statements. We want change. I'm not sure we want change. A lot of people say they want change, but there's a price. You don't dump your dreams. You lean into them. What are God's dreams for you? Wow. Let me share with you a call of God many thousand years ago. It's to the nation of Israel, but sort of as you listen to that letter of Jesus to Philadelphia in light of what is he saying to us, I want you to hear an instruction to a people that were getting ready for a change in leadership, a nation of Israel. Their leader Moses had led them out of slavery in Egypt, and they were at the doorstep of a new day, a new chapter, a new land. And in there is an instruction. So as I read Moses' instruction to ancient Israel, just do your own translation, your transliteration, or whatever you want to call it, and hear God speaking to you today. And now, Israel, what does God, the Lord your God, require of you? He requires only that you fear the Lord your God and live in a way that pleases him and love him and serve him with all your heart and soul. And you must always obey the Lord's commands and decrees that I am giving you today for your own good. Look, the highest heavens and the earth and everything in it all belong to the Lord your God. Yet the Lord chose your ancestors as the objects of his love, and he chose you, their descendants, above all other nations, as is evident today. Therefore, change your hearts. Stop being stubborn. For the Lord your God is the God of gods and Lord of lords. He is the great God, the mighty and awesome God, who shows no partiality and cannot be bribed. He ensures that the orphans and widows receive justice. He shows love to the foreigners living among you and gives them food and clothing. So you too must show love to the foreigners, for you yourselves were once foreigners in the land of Egypt. You must fear the Lord your God. Worship him. Cling to him. Your oaths must be in his name alone. He alone is your God, the only one who is worthy of your praise, the one who has done these mighty miracles that you have seen with your own eyes. When your ancestors went down to Egypt, there were only 70 of them. But now, the Lord, your God, has made you as numerous as the stars in the sky. Oh, Moses includes some big statements about the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel. The heavens and earth and everything in the earth belong to God, and that includes you and me. As you know, I don't like taking offerings. We give our tithes as an expression of our worship, because we belong to God. Everything we have belongs to God, not just the first tenth. Every last penny that I have belongs to God. I'm just the steward. My time belongs to God. My calendar belongs to God. Everything I have, hope to have, belongs to God. The Lord has set his affection on your ancestors and loved them. Oh, to Israel, he's talking about the ancestors that had followed God's leadership as they left slavery, getting ready to move into a promised land. But think about our ancestors, those apostles, James, John, Peter, those early followers, Mary of Nazareth, Mary Magdalene, Phoebe of Cenchrea, who took a letter of the Apostle Paul to Rome before he could get there and became a leader in that church. On down through the years of history, the reformers, leaders. Think of them. We have some great ancestors. The Lord has set his affection on our ancestors and loved them. And now he has chosen you and loves you. Friends, God loves you. He is God of gods, Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome. He shows no partiality. He accepts no bribes. He defends the orphans, the widows, the aliens, the marginalized by society. He performed for you great and awesome wonders you saw with your own eyes. It's the work of God. Woven in through those paragraphs and those statements about God are some instructions. Fear the Lord your God and live in a way that pleases Him. You don't need a resolution, you need a response. Love and serve the Lord with all your heart. Obey the Lord's commands. I love this one. For your own good. Not so that you meet a standard. Or so that you can hear a good job. He says, follow them for your own good. In God's commands are our good. Cleanse your hearts. Stop being stubborn. I'm just going to let that one sink in, can we? Me. Love the foreigners in your midst, knowing you were once aliens. Just let that one sink in. This is God. This is not me. Is there risk? Yeah. There's risk in trusting Americans. Have you read your history? Have you read the news lately? Americans have killed more of one another than the foreigners. Right? You just take that one for what it's worth. You must fear the Lord your God, worship and cling to Him. He alone is your God, the only one who is worthy of your praise. Friends, God is worthy of our praise and worship. He is the only one who is worthy. As we walk in fellowship with Him through this life, He shapes us to be the people He wants us to be. Friends, the one who is creator and owner of the heavens, the earth, and everything in it has chosen to love you. The one who is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God who is mighty and awesome, has chosen you to be a follower of Jesus Christ. You are not here just because of your choice. Oh, there was a part of your choice, but it was a choice in response to God saying, I love you and invite you to be a follower of Jesus. That's what the word translated church really means. People called out of the world to become followers of Jesus. The one who shows no partiality, accepts no bribes, who defends the marginalized, has performed great and awesome wonders for you. The supreme wonder of all time is centered in Jesus. Not in a healing of a disease for you, though that may be. God has provided for me in ways that I can't even begin to count. But the greatest gift is the gift we just celebrated. Jesus Christ. See, God calls each one of us to be His child, to serve Him with all of our heart. We are called to be His people in the middle of this world throughout 2016. The hope of our world is not a new president. It's God's church to be who they really can and could be if they really did believe in Jesus. It's more than saying, I believe. It's following Him with all of your heart, and you'll make a difference. And every person who calls themselves Christian will make a difference. It's more than just saying, well, I believe this and I believe that, and people should do this and people should do that. The question is, are we following Jesus with all our heart When I think of our Lord and his holiness, I oftentimes cannot help but wonder, why did he call me? What did he see in me? Little old me. What did he see in you? I need to brush fast, y'all. You see, God loves each one of you, and he loves me, and he loves the people of our world just because he does. It's not because we're so wonderful. It's just who God is. He loves us. So with that, I want to share a story. A story of a guy by the name of Gideon. I love this story. Can you recall it? The story is told for us in the book of Judges, chapter 6, 7, and 8. Oh, it's a strange time in life, this particular story of Gideon. We're told in this story that it had just been a few generations since their ancestors had come from wandering out of Egypt into wilderness over into this new promised land and settled in this new land. But as of yet, there was no central government. Libertarians would have loved it. Well, maybe they wouldn't have, because the real theme that describes the people through this era was everyone did that which was right in their own eyes. Now, wouldn't you like that? Now, that's fine as long as I can do it for. But what happens when my ideas for me clash with Frank's ideas for Frank? There was no central government. There was no one recognized as central leader. People in different communities had started worshiping the gods of the previous people that had lived in that area. They're worshiping idols and different gods and doing different things, and everybody doing that which was right in their own eyes. And as they became weaker and weaker, they began to be attacked by marauding armies, thieves. They were being harassed by a group called the Midianites. The Midianites were ransacking the area where Gideon and his family lived. And in this picture, the story says that he was down in here trying to thresh wheat. Now, you have to understand, do you understand ancient threshing wheat? They didn't have modern machinery. They would pound it, bust open the hulls, and then they would toss the wheat up in the air, and the breeze coming through would blow away the chaff, the shells. And the grain would fall on the ground, and they would sweep it up. And that's how they would get their grain. But the only problem is, out here like this, the Midianites would see them up on the hilltop. And so to thresh it, to keep from being robbed, here was Gideon down in a wine press. Now, a wine press was down in the ground. They would put the grapes there and mash them out. Yeah, you understand it. And the juice would flow into whatever containers for their wine. How do you thresh wheat down in a wine press? So here's this day. Here's Gideon. Oh, here we go. He's tossing it up. He's sweaty, and the chaff falling all around him, and he's hot. Did I say he's sweaty? And you know what happens with all the chaff? It doesn't blow away, does it? No, it just sort of collects. Don't you think Gideon feels wonderful at this point? He's grumbling. He's saying, oh, they're saying there's these great miracles in the ancestors. And oh, why has God forsaken me so bad? Why are my people like they are? Why? You understand? And then something happens. While he's sitting there, or while he's standing there trying to do his work, grumbling, a voice says, mighty warrior, the Lord is with you. What would you have thought had you heard that voice? Mighty warrior, Then there's an interesting conversation that the writer of Judges shares with us. Wow. Goes like this. Angel, mighty warrior, Lord is with you. Gideon, sir, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles our ancestors told us about? And didn't they say the Lord brought us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites. But there's an interesting shift in the story. It's not the angel that responds. It's the Lord Almighty that responds. Gideon, you go with the strength you have, and you rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you. Gideon, Lord, how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest of the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I'm the least in my entire family. It's just little old moi. Oh, Lord says, not the angel this time, it's the Lord. I'll be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man. I wonder what's going on in Gideon's mind. Gideon says, if you're truly going to help me, show me a sign to prove that it is really the Lord speaking to me. Don't go away until I come back and bring my offering to you. The Lord responds, okay. I'll be here. I'll be waiting. You understand Gideon, don't you? I got to go do this. I got to wait. The Lord says, yeah, okay, I'll wait. And so Gideon hurried home. You can tell this didn't happen real quickly. He cooked a young goat. With a basket of flour, he baked some bread without yeast. Then carrying the meat in a basket and the broth in a pot, he brought them out and presented them to the angel who was under the great tree. Now we're back to the angel. The angel of God said to him, I'll place the meat and the unleavened bread on this rock and pour the broth over it. Gideon did as he was told. That's a good step. Then the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the bread with the tip of the staff in his hand. Fire flamed up from the rock and consumed all he had brought. And the angel of the Lord disappeared. And when Gideon realized it was the angel of the Lord, he said, oh boy. Oh, sovereign Lord, I'm doomed. I've seen the angel of the Lord face to face. Oh, it's all right, the Lord replied. Don't be afraid. You'll not die. So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there, named it Yahweh Shalom. It means the Lord is peace. And the altar remains in Ophrah, in the land of the clan of Abiezer, to this day. Can you identify with Gideon? Can you identify with him? Oh boy. We live in a chaotic day. Our Midianites, terrorists and criminals and white-collar thieves, continue pillaging our world, our nation, our communities, our homes. Who are the Midianites in your life? You see, our greatest threat is not the Midianites or the Muslims or the liberals or the rednecks. Those aren't our real threat. Really not. You know what our real threat is? A church that's forgotten who its God is. And has settled for a diluted worship full of compromise. I've got this to do and that to do, and I've got this other thing, and I've got these plans. What is God's dream for you? What does God want to do in and through you? What does He want to do through New Cumberland Church of the Nazarene. As I was looking at some notes, came across an article, 4 years old, five almost. In fact, I shared it with you, January of 2011. Where it says 11, you can shift it to 15. Writer Benjamin Weicker writes, "There is a deep tendency in the human nature that when things are going badly, we want a king to come in and magically straighten them out. That is why our presidential elections have become far, far too important. We're treating the president as if he or she were our saving king, the anointed one, the Messiah who saves us in the darkest hour from our enemies and sets things right with a few quick thrusts of their terrible swift pen." Have you heard some candidates say, "On my first day in office, I'm going to..." How well has that worked? Didn't work too good for President Obama, and it's not going to work too good for the next one. We don't elect kings, we elect presidents who represent. Our president is not our hope. Slashing deficits, expanding health care, cutting health care costs, dragging the Wall Street white-collar pirates in chains, boldly slashing off all the welfare chiseler, reviving the economy by reducing regulations, expanding the economy by stimulus, passing more regulations to protect workers and consumers, saving Social Security, reducing entitlements, reducing the military, making us safer in an increasing world of increasing terrorism, staving off government encroaches on our personal liberty. Don't those all sound great? There's some confusing, conflicting statements in there, if you didn't catch it. There's no end to our list. All of this is now expected of a president, and the president wannabes are only too willing to make promises that only a Messiah could fulfill. Hence the hideously immodest stress we put on the election of a president, a process now stretched to the point where no sooner do we elect one president than the hopeful messiahs for the next election start queuing up. That accounts for how we've misspent the last weeks of the previous year, worrying about the elections of a year hence. What a terrible waste of Advent. What should have been thought a holy time. So what does it mean to be holy people in our world? How is the holy God addressing us? Saints, the Lord is with you. Christians, listen to the call of God. Saints, the Lord is with you. Be holy, for I am the Lord your God. Set yourselves apart to be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am your God. Keep all my laws and obey them. I am the Lord who makes you holy. You go in the strength. You say, "I don't have any." Yes, you do. Do you have faith in God today? You have strength. Are you a Christian? You have strength. Have you been given the Holy Spirit? You have strength. Don't you say, "I am the weakest of my family, and my family's the weakest of my clan." Do you have the Holy Spirit with you? Do you? Go in the strength that you have in Christ. Fulfill that dream. There's an old song that had become sort of a theme song of holiness movement denominations formulating in the late 1800s, early 1900s. And it has some interesting pictures of the church. Called unto holiness. Church of our God, purchase of Jesus, redeemed by his blood, called from the world and its idols to flee, called from the bondage of sin to be. Do you really believe that? I sort of want to say, free? called unto holiness. Praise his dear name. This blessed secret to faith now made plain, not our own righteousness, but Christ within, living . Do you really want that? Do you really? And saving from sin. Called unto holiness, bride of the Lamb. Waiting the bridegroom's returning again. Lift up your heads, for the day draweth near when in his beauty the King shall appear. Holiness unto the Lord is our watchword and song. Holiness unto the Lord as we're marching along. Sing it, shout it loud and long. Holiness unto the Lord, now and forever. So, what do you see ahead? Saint, put your name there. Word is with you.